Morning to each of you. Greetings in Jesus' name. Good to see each one here. Welcome the visitors to worship with us. I wondered earlier in the week if I should preach on something like the brevity of life or thankfulness. I think we all are thankful this morning in many ways. But I thought sometimes it's just good to get our minds on something else, and that's what we'll plan to do this morning. Return with me for a message to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11, I'm going to read just verses 1 through 9. And I have a little assignment for, I think we've got a few high school students here. I'm going to do something I don't normally do, but I'm going to intentionally read a word wrong, and I want you to catch it. When I'm done reading, I'm going to ask you what I read wrong. I'm trying to make a point, okay? And so we're going to do that here this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, sisters, that you remember me in all the things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prayeth or prophesieth with her head uncovered, dishonoreth her head, for that is even all one, as if she were shaven. But if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to be shorn or shaven, let her be covered. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man." Now, high school students, what word did I read wrong? Did you catch it? Let's see, where are they at? I see one in the front bench. There's one back there in the back. And some others scattered. Did anyone catch a word I read wrong intentionally? Jeff, did you see anything? Very good. Good job. Now, I don't know about you, but somehow it seems like this has been a passage that people look at and say it's addressed to the sisters. That is not correct. If we read this, it says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things." Now, sometimes when a scripture says man, it means mankind, and it includes everyone. This scripture, I don't think there's any mistake in what it means when it says brethren. It's talking to the male side of the house. It's talking to the brethren. And so what I would like to do here is I want to preach two messages on this. And this morning we're going to look at man is the image and glory of God. And we see that in verse 7. Now, and before we get to that, we have what we call the order of headship. And God is saying how he wants it to flow and how the order will work. Now, is that something God just kind of come up with? Is it something that is just kind of his whim? I don't think so. In fact, that one of the things we'll focus on the most is verse 7. And it's, to me, as we understand verse 7, then we can make sense of the rest of the chapter. In verse 7, it says, "For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man." And so we're going to spend most of the message looking at how man is the image and glory of God. Now, some of the things that this passage teaches are almost hard to say because it's so counterculture. But it is what the Bible teaches. It is what the Bible teaches. Now, we have heard for a long time that we are made in the image of God. But what does that mean? What does that mean, we are made in the image of God? So we're going to go back to Genesis. We're actually going to spend most of the morning and a lot of the time in Genesis here. Genesis chapter 1, where God created man. So we're going to read Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 through 30. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. Now we have here God making man. And one thing that I want to say up front here, kind of on this thought of being man, being made in the image of God. Now, I wrestle with the right way to say this. Where does that leave woman? Is woman made in the image of God? Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 11 lays it out very clearly that man is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Now, where does that leave the woman? I would like to say this, that at least as I understand it, that you are made in the image of God, but in a different way than man is. And you have a different place than man does. And we'll see that as we go throughout the scriptures. We look at that. And there are times we look at how man is made in the image and glory of God that you will see yourself. But there are times that you will say, no, that's the man. That's him. And so, and there's, I think maybe where Eve wasn't created yet in these verses we just read. But as you read through them, God does say, male and female created he them. Right after he says about being made in the image of God. And so there is that piece there. But I think to help us understand some of the teaching we want to look at in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we will see why God has an order of headship and why it makes sense. Okay? So we'd like to look at, first of all, number one, man made as a model. Now, when we look at these words, image and likeness, the image is a resemblance or a figure. Likeness means a resemblance or a model. Now, if you would go up to upstairs in Brother Ronald and Ruth's place, you would see a model train. Now, we know exactly what that means. It is, you look at it and you don't say, oh, there's backhoes going around the track. No, you don't say that. You look at it and you know exactly what it is. It's a model train. It resembles something that is much bigger, that and it has a lot of the same features, but it's different. And there's a resemblance there. It's a model. And so when we think about being made in the image and likeness of God, we are a model. It doesn't mean that it's going to all be the same, but there's a resemblance to heaven, and we look, and God's going to look like a chicken or a cow. And I'm not trying to make light of things, but I'm just helping us to understand that that's not how it's going to be. We were made in his likeness, in an image, and somehow a replica. Now, I remember being at a church a while back, and I was having meetings there, and the Sunday school lesson, someone made the statement that he don't think we're going to look like God, and quite a discussion came out of that statement. And so I know there's some different thoughts on what God may look like. But I want us to, we do have a little bit of a picture in the Bible of what God may look like. And we were made in his image, and so there is a resemblance from man. Deuteronomy talks about the outstretched arm of God, okay? Isaiah 40 says, he measures the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with a span. And so we can get from these verses that he has, I mean, it might be bigger, but the resemblance is there, okay? The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth. He has breath. He breathed into man, the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Moses saw his hinder part, so obviously there was a front part. We have now the Lord coming and meeting Abraham there in his tent door. Do you remember that? Now, we believe that was Jesus Christ. Before, but he came in bodily form, and it doesn't say that Abraham saw him as any different, but he met him there. We also have Revelation chapter 1, Jesus described there. And he was there in his glorified state. And it is obviously he had hair, he had eyes, he had feet, he had resemblance of a man. And so when we think of man being made in the image of God, we are his image in a lot of ways, even though there will probably be some things that are different. There's some things that we maybe can't explain, but we're going to think of it this way. You know, in the Trinity, there's a Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God has made us three parts of body, soul, and spirit. And so there is a spirit side of God. And Jesus said, "The spirit hath not flesh or bones." And also, some of those things that are maybe harder to explain can be understood in that there is three parts to the Godhead. And we also have three parts in ourselves. And we are made in that image, in that likeness in some way. It also, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so being made in the image of God is also a reflection of that Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Godhead in the Bible is always referred to as the male figure. You do not find anywhere in the Bible where God is referred to in the female figure. It's just the fact. And so... Men, we are made in the image of God. We are made in the image and likeness of God. Now, does it stop there? I don't believe it does. In fact, I think Genesis continues to show us what it means when man is made in the image of God. And so we're going to keep studying into this. Number two, made to have dominion over. He created Adam, and he made him to have dominion over the animals, the fish, of the sea. That word dominion there is to tread down, prevail, or rule. And this is where the leadership, conqueror, protector side of man comes out in that aspect. You know, God is all these in a much bigger way, but we are a model of that. Now, to help maybe illustrate this a little bit, ladies, I assume sometimes you've seen your husband trying to conquer something that he's can't quite conquer, and he gets frustrated and he consumes his mind, and you know, you looking on, why are you so bullheaded, why don't you just give up? You know, he's not being bullheaded. He's operating with the way God made him, in the image of God, that desire to conquer, to understand, to lead and have dominion over. That is how God made us. God made us in his image to be that way. Now that doesn't mean we can't be bullheaded sometimes. I don't mean that. But God made men that way. We were made in his image. And you can think about this thought of having dominion over the fish and all that. You know, I know some women like to hunt, but as a rule, it's the man that will go out early in the morning and sit out there, and he will hunt, and he will endure cold, he will endure a lot of things to have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl, and over the animal. Why? Because he's being whatever? No, he's made in the image of God. He's doing what God created him to do. Okay? Number three, made to initiate procreation. We see that in, now obviously, women, you have your part in this. This was given before Eve was created, but I believe God said this in context. However, the part I'd like to bring out here is it's not tradition that a man would go out and find a young lady, ask her out for a date. That's not tradition. That is operating the way God made you, in the image of God. And you say, well, how is that in the image of God? You just look at how God made creation and how things reproduce. The creation reproduces, and you know that God is a God who likes to reproduce. He likes things to happen. We are all the children. If you're a child of God, you're all the children of God. And just the way the plant life continues on, the seeds drop and they bring forth fruit. We are made in the image of God. It's not a secret that men can struggle with thoughts and lust in the way that women do not. And it's not because they have such a problem. It's because that's why God made them. And God made them in the image of God. And so, I don't know, some of those things are beautiful as I think of how God made man. Number four, he made man as a caretaker. And we go down through, continue on down through the, I think we're going, that's part of verses 26 through 30, of being a caretaker. But it's especially emphasized in verse 15, and the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. He is a caretaker. Now, you know, God cares for the earth in many ways, and he brings the sun and the rain. And he does something that man cannot do with creation. But yet, God has set up that man, he would also be the caretaker in that little way, in that model trained way. He would be a caretaker on this earth and make it produce food. And I think of being a caretaker, in many ways, this is where strength comes in. God is a God of strength, and his strength is very obvious. And as men, we are really little model trains compared to God's strength, but it is part of being made in the image of God. You know, sisters, there's a reason when you can't get the jar lid open that you seek out a man in the house, right? And, you know, Peter says it. He said, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as the weaker vessel. And it says, understand that, you know what, maybe there's firewood to get in, or there's firewood to split, that you understand that you're the physically built one. You're the one that has the strength, that is being made in God's image. And I don't know, man, if you have thoughts like this sometimes, but, you know, some mornings you're out of bed long before your wife, maybe. Or, you know, it's sometimes you have these thoughts of it's just another day of work. You know, sometimes you think your wife has it pretty easy. Do those thoughts ever go through your head? Or maybe I'm the only one that's so carnal. And I think that I'm not slamming. Please, I'm trying to make a point. And, you know, as far as snow coming, you know, I think it's the female side of our house that is excited about snow. I struggle to get excited because, you know why? Because it means more work. And it means the work that I have to do already is going to get harder. But we were made in the image of God, man. We were made in the image of God. And one of the things that God did is gave you more strength than he did your wife. And he expects, well, maybe you can shovel some snow together. He expects you to do the bigger part. He expects that's going to be harder. In fact, with the fall of man, God made it very clear that that's how it would be. Part of the curse is, yeah, you're going to have to work hard some days. And so all of that is man being made in the image of God. Number five, he was made with intellect and with the ability to reason and choose. He was made with intellect and the ability to reason and choose. And here's, you know, sisters, you have all of this too. And in some ways, you can easily go above and beyond us at times. But we see that here in Genesis chapter 2. And this is an interesting verse. And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Now, I don't know how much in chronological order these couple chapters are. Did God create some animals on the fifth day? And then later he made more? I'm not trying to, but it says he formed every beast and then he brought him to Adam. He said, all right, Adam, what would you like to call this animal? Wouldn't that have been that would be a different kind of work, wouldn't it? But here we see very clearly that something that God has, he imparted to man, and it was intellect. Now, you know as well as I do, if you're coming up with names of lots of different animals, that takes the mind, has to work, and has to work well, and also the ability to reason. And finally, he could reason this out. He could also make a choice. He could do that. God created man to do that. And they had this little partnership going on here. But it is out of that man has a responsibility to teach and study, and because he can think and reason and choose. God created him that way, made him in his image in that way. And because of the leadership aspect of men and their ability to reason, That is why the 1 Corinthians chapter 11 is addressed to the men, because of the leadership side that God has blessed them with. And also for this responsibility, because they can reason, they can choose. Number 6 is made with the desire for fellowship. We see God and Adam working together here in the verse I just read. We see God walking, or coming down and walking in the garden to cool the day, wanting to talk to Adam in chapter 3. We have, it seemingly like God desired a fellowship beyond the heavenly host. It just seems that way. And we have the distinct impression in chapter 2, verse 18, that Adam's just a little bit lonely. And I don't know what it'd be like to be the only person in this earth, but it would seem lonely, wouldn't it? But God created man to want fellowship. And he has created women that way, to want fellowship. And we are made in God's image in that way. Now, one of the things that has happened because of the fall, all these aspects, all these character traits to be made in the image of God have been corrupted and can easily be corrupted. And this is, I'm just going to point this out, but the next message, I'd like to look at it a little more, because this is where it ties together with how man and woman are equal in their need for Christ. But I'd like to, in Colossians chapter 3, there's a couple of verses there I'd just like to read that shows us how some of these traits we looked at, they really can get out of hand. I think you understand that. They can be corrupted. Man can take dominion and he can be overzealous with that. And you can go on down the list of how that has happened. But we have Paul talking to the church at Colossae here and telling them, you know, put off all these and don't lie. And he says, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. And so there's something about the work of Christ that he will do in the heart and life of a man that makes him more like the image of God that he was originally made for. And so, but I want to tie that in the next time a little more. So, I'm sorry, I'll take you back to Genesis while we are here before we go back to 1 Corinthians 11. I want to point out here how God made man and how he made woman. And I know this is things that you know, but let's just read them. We're here. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And we have God creating man in that way where he formed him. He got the dust and he formed him, breathed into that, and man became a living soul, an eternal soul that will live forever. But then we have this coming later in the chapter, and we have God saying, you know what, Adam needs a helpmeet. He's not able to fulfill all this by himself. And the Lord caused, verse 21, caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And there we have the difference of how man was created and how woman was created. And it helps us to understand 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in another way. And so let's turn back here to 1 Corinthians 11. We'll have a few thoughts yet. So, thinking of all of that, now, one of the things that God created man in his image, and it says, he is the glory of God. And I think it's a little bit like this. So let's just say you like to make things and you like to Man, I say, I don't know. You go out to Ronald's shop and he makes stuff. I know he does. Curtis makes stuff. Some of us don't really make much. I don't know. But they finally, they made something that really turned out well. And you go to visit them, they say, got something to show you. Come out here. I want to show you something. And they take this masterpiece, whatever it was, that turned out well. Look, I want to show it to you. And I think that's a little bit how it was, how God looks at man with creation. That he made all of these things, or beautiful things, the animals, and then he made man, and he said, now this tops the creation off. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, for as much as he is the image, and we've been talking about that, and the glory of God. Something that God made that brings him glory, and we use the term proud of it. Do you understand what I mean? He's like, this, I'm telling you, is the masterpiece of it all. But that is exactly what a woman is to a man. Now, okay, so you can take a young man. He likes talking about work. He likes talking about his trucks or whatever it is. Someday he wakes up and he sees this young lady that catches his attention. And he asks her out and she says yes. And you see that being fulfilled before your very eyes. And he has found something that exceeds anything else he's thought about. Now, I know in Christ but you understand what I'm trying to say. He has found a prize. He has found a glory that he has never found before. And women, that is what you are in many ways to man. He has found something that is beautiful to him, that he loves. And he is simply operating in the way that God made him. Now, the Bible also points this out. I'd like to turn to a couple verses here. Turn with me to Song of Solomon. To help women, I want you to understand, and men to understand, that how this is true. So in Song of Solomon chapter 6, and he's talking about the beauty there, and we'll read a few of these verses. Verse 5, it says, turn away thine eyes from me, for they have overcome me. Thy hair is as a flock of goats that appear from Gilead. In verse chapter 7, as he's thinking about his wife and her beauty. And in verse 5, and it's 1 through 5, but I'll just read verse 5. Thine head upon thee is like caramel, and the hair of thine head like purple. The king is held in the galleries. You see, God has created woman with, in a way that is a glory to man. She is his glory. She is everything that he has ever wished for. And I find it interesting, in the two verses I read you, that the hair is mentioned in both those verses. And I think it's something like this. And it's just, I'm wrapping this up. But I want you to think about this till the next time. So as I've studied the scriptures, I really believe that God wants man to reveal a glory of God in a way that he's not asked the woman to. Now, I want to be careful with that, but he asked him to. He says, don't cover your head. Don't veil yourself. You cannot veil the glory of God. Man, I've chosen him to, in some way, show the glory of God. But I think, and maybe this is a man's perspective, I'm not sure. You can correct me later if you feel like I need corrected. But I think that if a woman was to display her full glory all the time beside a man, we would lose just about every time. Do you know what I'm saying? And so, that is also exactly what is happening in America today. and in other parts of the world. And so, with that thought, the next time we are getting ready to go into why we practice this, let's kneel for prayer.